From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The U.S. stock market had its worst day in 7 years. Financial giant Lehman Brothers went under and the venerable Merrill Lynch was bought out by Bank of America. In the wake of these shakeups, both presidential candidates seized the opportunity to discuss the economy. Barack Obama described the latest drama on Wall Street as the worst financial crisis since the Depression. Senator John McCain had a different view, saying instead that the economy's fundamentals were still strong. He later changed his statement. Here to give us more perspective, we've got Robert Trainum, the Washington, D.C. bureau chief of CN8, the Comcast network. How you doing?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. So let's start out with the actual gentlemen who are planning to run the economic ship. Here are the candidates. First, this is John McCain yesterday responding to news of the Lehman Brothers crash.
The American worker and their innovation, their entrepreneurship, the small business, those are the fundamentals of America, and I think they're strong.
Here was Barack Obama's response to McCain today.
His call for fiscal responsibility would be believable if he wasn't for more tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans and more of a trillion-dollar war in Iraq paid for with deficit spending and borrowing from foreign creditors like China.
Okay, when you hear those two men, what do you hear? And how credible are each of them on their message?
Well, they're both credible in both their messages, but remember, their messages are two very different audiences. Senator Obama's message is a classic Democratic theme message of, look, I'm out for the little guy. I want to cut taxes for those who are living paycheck to paycheck, and I want those who are making, or quote-unquote, the rich, who are making a lot of money, I want them to pay a little bit more. And Senator McCain's message is, well, wait a minute, I believe that the entrepreneurial spirit is best when taxes are low and when people have more money in their pockets so that they can spend more money, which thus in the process grows the economy. I mean, both of their arguments are classic bait-and-switch liberal versus conservative arguments, and it just depends on what your philosophical beliefs are and what you believe is right.
But isn't there such a thing as looking at the records? When we look at the records in American society of when taxes were lowered on working people, whether taxes were lowered for people of wealth, what do we see? What's the track record on what's happened in the past?
Well, it really depends on your perspective on that as well. I mean, if you take a look at Ronald Reagan's presidency, he obviously cut taxes for an enormous amount of people, particularly those who made a lot of money, which is the quote-unquote trickle-down economics philosophy. And we had the largest and longest peacetime expansion in our nation's history from an economic standpoint up to that point. But thus in the process, when you had George H.W. Bush into office and he raised taxes back in 1991, which arguably lost him the election, he then ushered in a different type of economics where Bill Clinton came into the office, and then we had, at that point, the longest and the largest peacetime expansion in our nation's history. And I think we need to look at the obvious. The obvious is that when George W. Bush inherited the presidency or won the presidency, we had a record surplus. We were at peace. Taxes were relatively low. People were relatively at a comfort level in terms of what they were spending and also in terms of how much they were making. Gasoline was at $1.50 a gallon. And if you take a look at today, obviously gasoline is hovering about $4 to $5 a gallon. We have record deficits, and we are a nation at war. So it just really depends on your perspective and what your overall economic outlook is.
I was traveling yesterday from Washington, D.C. back to Los Angeles, and there were a lot of grim faces in the airport, a lot of discussion between people traveling together about the trickle-down effect of this financial crisis on different groups of Americans. How do you see this crisis affecting people who are of wealthier means, middle means, and modest to low means?
No matter what your pay period or your pay stub may say every 2 weeks, whether you make $10,000 a month or if you make $10,000 a year, everyone is affected by this gloom and doom outlook that we are facing. There's no question about it that I believe that the fundamentals of our economy are strong. And let me define fundamentals. I'm not taking John McCain's definition. I'm saying people that get up every day and that work, people that pay their taxes, people that believe in the overall government system, those do work. However, everyone recognizes that there were a lot of people out on Wall Street that were extremely greedy, that took advantage of the situation, that took advantage of the most vulnerable in our society. There are a lot of people out there that are, unfortunately, I hate to say this, that are in homes that they really can't afford, and thus in the process they really should not have been lent the money to, those are the folks out there that we have to be the most concerned about. And regardless, Farai, of what type of income level that you're at, you must, your heart must go out to those individuals, no question about it.
One financial analyst said that the way that the government was treating bailouts was capitalism for the poor, live or die by the sword, and socialism for the rich. Now we seem to have seen a bit of a reversal where one of the biggest financial institutions in the country was allowed to go under. Do you think, what do you think the government's role should be in terms of bailouts? How far should public money go in trying to shore up private financial institutions?
You know, that's a very complicated question, is because, you know, obviously the government has a role and certainly a responsibility to be able to stabilize the financial system. You have to do that or you will go into a depression, no question about it. However, you know, I'm one of those individuals that was sitting back here and saying, you know what, I live within my means. You know, I don't put too much money on my credit card. I live in a home that I think I can afford. You know, I don't, in other words, I'm not being too greedy. And shame on those people out there that were greedy, meaning not the individuals that applied for these loans, but for the individuals out there that that predated on these individuals that could not afford these loans. And why should me or I or you or our listeners out there who live by the or play by the rules and live by these rules, why should they bail out using our taxpayer dollars, bail out the individuals out there that were reckless? So it's a slippery slope. I mean, we saw this in 2001 when the government bailed out the airline industry for obvious reasons. We actually saw this a few days ago when the government said that they were going to bail out Freddie Mae and Fannie Mae. So how far do you go in terms of these quote-unquote bailouts, and how much can we afford, not only just financially, Farai, but also emotionally as well? And that's a critical question that our next president is going to have to answer.
Well, speaking of the questions the presidents have to answer, I noticed that Senator Barack Obama threw a line about China into his speech, specifically essentially saying that we were mortgaging off our future to China. Is that nativism or is that just reality? I mean, China already owns quite a bit of American debt. What do you think is going to happen in the future now that we're in a position where America is in an even tighter economic spiral than before?
Well, Senator Obama does have a point, although it's somewhat borderline fear-mongering, because when you use China or Dubai or some other quote-unquote foreign country, when you say those type things, it obviously invokes fear in a lot of people. Now, having said that, that fear is rooted in reality, and the reality is, the obvious, is that these foreign countries out there, China specifically, are owning more and more of our financial portfolio. If you take a look at their overall ownership stake when it comes to the stocks and bonds, when it comes to the real estate portfolio, you know, it used to be 1 or 2%, but now it's 7, 8, 9, 10, 11%. And that's a grave, grave concern for anyone that takes a look at the financial markets and it says, okay, if this current trajectory continues, there's a very good chance that Wall Street will now be in Shanghai. Or perhaps, Park Avenue may be in downtown Dubai in terms of the ownership, who really owns the deed on our properties.
You know, when you think about how this is playing out, Robert, do you think that either side has the advantage right now?
You know, I don't think so. I think, look, this is the obvious. The obvious is that we are in a crisis right now. And so whomever is going to be our next president 105 days from now when he is inaugurated on January 20th, is going to inherit an enormous amount of mess. There's no question about it that Senator McCain is borrowing a page from Ronald Reagan and President Bush in terms of keeping tax rates low for higher income taxpayers, slashing rates for corporations, and his argument is that this is a way to jumpstart a lethargic economy and create more jobs. Now, there's some truth to that. Senator Obama's argument is that, wait a minute here, under the wealthiest 1% of taxpayers, those making $600,000 or more, they should pay more. They can afford to pay more. And so there's just a fundamental strategic decision that the American people have to ask themselves as to which direction they want to go down. Do they want to go down a road of someone who arguably does not have a lot of experience running the government, but is very idealistic and is very articulate and has some very bold dreams and ideas for this country? Or do they want to go with someone who's a little bit more, a lot more older, but arguably has more experience in running the government, who says, trust me, things are going to be okay, you need to follow my lead? That's the fundamental question that Americans will have to ask themselves.
When we move forward as a nation, how much faith, and this is something that we've asked a couple of other folks who are authors and thinkers, how much faith should Americans have that the president has power over the economy? Because the president is not the sole champion or the person who steers the ship. How much power does the president actually have?
Very little. You know, George Bush said it right a couple of months ago when he stood in the Oval Office and told the American people and said, you know what, if I had a magic wand, I would love to be able to lower gas prices right now. But it doesn't work that way. The economy, the American economy specifically, is so complex and so large and so burdensome that no person, whether it's, you know, Greenspan or whether it's Paulson or whether it's President Bush or Barack Obama or John McCain, no one can say, you know what, this ship is going to turn left, I'm going to turn this wheel left, and we will go left. It doesn't work that way. Basically, the president has to say, okay, I want to go left, and he has to persuade so many different constituencies, ultimately the American people, Wall Street, foreign investors, Citibank, Wachovia, you go on Lehman Brothers, you go on down the list, and he says, this is where we want to go, and then slowly but surely that ship turns, but it does take time.
Well, Robert, I'm going to tell our listeners to stick with us because we're actually going to speak to someone from the Obama campaign, Austin Goolsbee, a senior economic advisor. We did try to reach someone from the McCain campaign, but they were not able to provide us with anyone. We certainly hope that we're able to reach McCain's economic advisors in the coming days because we know this is a huge issue, and we value your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, as always.
We were talking with Robert Tranum. He is the Washington, D.C. bureau chief for CNA, the Comcast network. And just ahead, we're going to speak with Austin Goolsbee, Obama's senior economic advisor, continuing our conversation of what's been going on. Plus, could foreclosure mean you get locked out of your home and locked out from voting?